are changing hockey, and we're here to talk about it. This is Chal Chit Chat, and I'm your host, Liz Hood. For episode 4 today, I'm joined by Lauren Schoss, and I'm really excited about this conversation. It can be super difficult to manage a relationship with a professional athlete, specifically in something like hockey, with how many unknown variables are at play. And I think Lauren is the perfect person to join me on the show to talk a little bit about how to manage those types of situations. Lauren is the longtime partner of Manitoba Moose player and Winnipeg Jets prospect Danny Shilkin, and she is also pursuing her doctorate of psychology at James Madison University. Lauren and Danny have a really cool story in terms of managing two careers in the sports space, with Danny as a professional athlete and Lauren as a sports psychologist. Today we're going to talk about how to prioritize the different parts of a relationship, prioritize your partner's career, your own career, and how to find the silver linings and opportunities in these types of situations, as well as manage the hardships that do exist. I am so glad that you're here for episode 4 with Lauren Schoss. So without further ado, let's get into it and talk about how to manage your career and your partners. Welcome to episode 4 of Chal Chit Chat. I am so psyched to be joined by Lauren today. Like I kind of mentioned, we're going to be diving into all things related to pursuit of career and professionalism, academic backgrounds and stuff, while also managing what is one of the more interesting types of relationships you can be in, which is one with a professional athlete. So Lauren, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so pumped to have you.
Of course. Thank you for reaching out and inviting me to be on this. It's such a cool project. I'm so excited to be part of it.
Oh, well, that makes me so happy to hear. The feeling is very much mutual. Why don't you start by telling everybody a little bit about yourself and kind of what some of your background is before we dive into kind of our topic that we're discussing today?
Yeah. I can give kind of an overview. So yeah, my name is Lauren. I am 24 years old. I don't know what that weird word was. I'm 24 years old. I'm originally from Burlington, Ontario, but I go to school down in Harrisonburg, Virginia. It's about 2 hours outside of DC. There I attend James Madison University. I'm doing my doctorate in clinical and school psychology, which is a total mouthful. But I've been there for about a year and a half now, on winter break currently, so back at home with the family, which is awesome. Prior to my time at JMU doing my doctorate, I did a 2-year master's at Boston University in mental health counseling and sports psychology. And then before that, I did a 4-year undergrad at McMaster University in their health sciences program. So I've been in school for like what feels like forever. I guess this is like year 8 since I graduated high school and I've gone straight through. So spent a lot of time in school, which is definitely an added layer to the like complexity of being in a relationship long distance with a pro athlete, which I know we're going to talk lots about. But yeah, I guess a little bit more about me. I was a competitive dancer for 20 years, I think. That's sort of what got me into the sports psych field in general, or at least kind of started my interest in it. This is only my second year not dancing, which is kind of crazy. I danced all through my master's. So that was a really big part of my life and continues to be something that I love. I have two little cousins now who dance at the same studio that I grew up at. So I'm kind of reliving it through a bit of a different lens now, which is really fun. I love to travel. I love to spend time with my friends and family, and obviously watch a lot of hockey because of the boy. So that's a little bit about me, my background, things like that.
Amazing. Well, that was super comprehensive. And I feel like so many of those different angles are so applicable to what we want to talk about today. You, your academic experience, your background in sport and everything like that. So I'm super psyched to kind of talk about that. We're going to start with talking about the academic piece. And I kind of want to start by talking a little bit about your undergrad, actually, which is, you know, getting to be a little while ago now that you mentioned you're a full degree in between that and now.
Oh, but,
no. You know, when it comes to where you are at now and pursuing your JD and stuff, when you were in your undergrad, was this the ultimate goal at that time? Or is this something that you kind of evolved in terms of career goals? Or where did that kind of fall in terms of the long-term plan for you during your undergrad?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think my background's maybe a little bit different than a lot of the people that end up doing doctorates in psychology. You know, a lot of my classmates and friends that I've had that have kind of been in a similar position to me now kind of always knew that they wanted to go into psychology. Maybe they majored in it as an undergrad. That's really common. I did not. I was in, like I said, the health sciences program at Mac. It's not technically like a pre-med program, but kind of for all intents and purposes, it really kind of is. There's a really high percentage of graduates from that program that do go on to med school, if not something like very healthcare adjacent, like public health or PA school or things like that. And so I was a little bit unique in that way. I very much so went into the health sciences program thinking that med school was going to be my path. I've always loved working with people. I always knew I wanted to be in like what we would call like a helping profession in some capacity. I just thought at that point that it was more on the physical health side rather than the mental health side. And truthfully, it wasn't until I was later in my undergrad that I really started to take an interest in the world of psychology and mental health and really started to consider that as like a feasible, viable career option for myself. It was my third year specifically, where I was taking a few more courses in psychology, mental health, one in particular where my professor was actually a clinical psychologist. And for our final paper, she was like, write a paper on anything. As long as it's related to mental health, write about whatever you want. And I was like, okay, cool. What about like performance anxiety in athletes? You know, again, as a dancer, I experienced that. My brother played hockey, watched him experience a lot of that. So I was writing this paper and was kind of talking to my professor throughout that process. And she was like, you know, this is starting to sound kind of like sports psychology, which is cool. And I was like, that's a thing. I didn't know. And she ended up getting me connected to someone named Dr. Kate Hayes. Little did I know, she was like probably one of the most, if not the most famous sports psychologist in Toronto. And she was an alumni from Boston University. And that basically set me on my trajectory from that point onwards. I ended up writing my MCAT that summer. It was COVID summer. COVID hit kind of like partway through my third year of school. And so I ended up still writing my MCAT just to leave my options open. But truthfully, the lack of motivation that I experienced trying to study for said MCAT, and then the, I don't know what the right word is, but just lack of enjoyment and excitement that I felt during the application process for med school, was kind of the confirmation that I needed that that was not the path for me. Meanwhile, I was like super excited to apply to BU and to take more courses in mental health. So yeah, a little bit of an unconventional pathway, but my undergrad experience was phenomenal, even though I ended up not going the route that I originally came in with. Like, that program sets you up for success in anything that you want to do in the future. And I was lucky to also be surrounded by three really incredible friends, all of whom went into a little bit of like a different pathway. We had one that went the med route and she's working in her residency right now. So that's awesome. But the other two went into law school and public health. So we all kind of split and did our own thing, which I think made that process a little bit easier on me, just being around people who had such diverse interests and were deviating from the quote unquote norm a little bit. So yeah, a really positive experience and definitely set me up to be successful in my master's and now my doctorate.
I think it's really important to look at experiences like that and understand that it's okay to change what you think you're going to do when new information about opportunities becomes available. Like, that's how adult decision making works. It's like, oh, yes, actually, I learned and further developed my context here, and I'm going to change my mind. That's actually a really good thing. But it does take a strong person to kind of accept that change. Humans are change averse, like, we don't always love that, so all the power to you. And clearly it seems like you're on a path right now that is super relevant to what you're interested in, what you're passionate about, and what you're good at. So talk a little bit about your experience at BU when you applied for that program and those 2 years you spent at that university.
Yeah, that was a pretty hefty decision, obviously, for a lot of reasons. Like, for context, my undergrad school, like I said, McMaster, and where I grew up in Burlington are only about 20 minutes apart, which actually at the time I didn't want. I wanted to move further away from home, ironically, but once I got to school, I realized how much of a blessing it was to be so close to my family. I started my undergrad when I was 16. I skipped a grade when I was younger, so I moved away when I was really young. And in hindsight, like, I'm not sure I could have done longer than like an hour, maybe a couple hours of distance at that point in my life. But by the time I got to the age that I was when I started my master's, which was 20, I turned 21 about a week and a half into my time at BU, conveniently. I was, yeah, I know, I was like, perfect. I was ready to go. I wanted some space from home. I wanted to kind of explore my identity as like an independent adult, but it was a big decision to commit to moving down to the States, especially during a time that was still filled with like a lot of uncertainty with COVID and stuff. There was restrictions on the borders. Like, I had to fly to move myself down to Boston. I couldn't drive because my parents wouldn't have been able to drive across the border with me. So it was a bit of a like scary kind of novel thing to do in general. And then you add this extra layer of like COVID stuff on top of it that complicated it more. But I knew that that's where I wanted to be. I had been to Boston several times as a kid, and it has always been like one of my favorite American cities. I love the culture there. It's also like probably one of the best cities to be in for people that want to work in sports, just because all of their teams are historically so good. And there's so many teams to work with there between all of the colleges. I don't remember the exact number now, but when I was planning on going, my parents and I were looking online, and there's like 200 or some crazy number of like colleges within like a certain mile radius of like the downtown core of Boston. Like, it is crazy just the volume of schools and professional sports teams and things that are packed into that city. And so I knew that like if sports psychology was something that I was really serious about pursuing, like that was going to be the program and the place that was going to set me up the best. It was incredibly expensive, so that was another factor that we really weighed into our decision. One of the things that kind of helped ease that a little bit was that I knew I wanted to go on to complete a doctorate after. And so having that in the back of my mind, knowing that I'd, you know, be expanding my scope of practice a little bit, having a doctorate opens up a lot more job opportunities, slightly higher paying job opportunities. That sort of eased the stress of the financial burden that BU was going to be. But my time there was incredible. It was everything that I hoped it to be and more. One of the sort of appealing things, I guess you could say, or probably the selling point of the program, was the amount of like practical experience you get. So during both my first and second year, I was assigned to a couple different collegiate sports teams and youth sports teams that I provided like team and individual sports psychology services to. And then for the entirety of my second year, on top of that, I was working about 20-ish hours a week at a partial hospital program for kids and adolescents in more of a clinical context. So I got so much experience that not only set me up in terms of like being able to enter the workforce in sports psychology, like how I have now with my job. I guess I forgot to mention that in my background, but we'll talk about that later too. Sorry. And then on top of that, to prepare me to be in my doctorate, it's a challenging program. You're juggling so much, but I met a lot of really awesome people. My professors at BU were phenomenal. And I'm still in touch with so many of them. So like that experience was incredible. It's exactly what I was hoping it would be. And like, man, did I ever walk out with just such a deep plethora of knowledge and skills and experiences that have really propelled me into all of the things that I'm currently doing. So, and I got to live in Boston for 2 years, which was like the coolest thing ever. I lived like a block away from Fenway Park. So just amazing all around. I miss Boston every day because where I currently live in Virginia is very different than Boston. And I really loved living in Boston. So
what I'm hearing is the resume is about 12 pages long at this point, of just full of fun ideas and all these different things that you've done. That's amazing. And that's what everyone wants right out of a post-secondary education experience, right? It's just experience, getting all kinds of different things, trying them out. And I think trying things out when you're in school is the best way to do it too. Because, you know, when you graduate and become a real adult, if you do something for 2 months and then another thing for three, people kind of frown upon that. But when you're in school, hey, anything goes.
Yeah, well, and even through that program, like I was lucky, I worked with a softball team for 2 years. And like, if for context, I currently work for the Toronto Blue Jays as a scouting in scouting as a mental performance specialist. And like, I never would have seen myself working in the baseball, like softball space. I've always been very like hockey focused and, you know, just kind of almost a little bit narrow in that way. Like, I didn't really ever see myself, quite frankly, working in the baseball world. And then I worked with softball for 2 years and learned so much about the mental side of sports like that, which is just so unique and different and also so mentally demanding that I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. So when an opportunity with the Jays came up, I was much more likely to kind of hop on that and take an interest in that because of that experience that I got at BU. So it definitely opens your eyes to like new opportunities that maybe you wouldn't have considered previously. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Grad school is good for that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like this is like a theme so far of the show. It's like more exposure just can change your decision making, but in the best possible way. I love that. Before we start moving on to more like professional stuff, just really quickly dive a little bit more into what, you know, going to James Madison has been like and you know, pursuing your JD right now, what that's been like and kind of what the process was of getting in and how you made the decision to go there and everything like that.
I'm in my second year, about halfway through my second year of my doctorate currently. It's a doctorate of psychology. So there's sort of two degrees that you can get when you pursue a doctorate in psychology. There's either a PhD or a PsyD. PhDs tend to be a lot more like research heavy, if that makes sense. And like you spend hours in a lab writing your dissertation and doing things like that, and a little bit less time on like the applied hands-on type work. PsyDs, which is what I'm doing, is a lot more focused on the applied. So I'm still doing a dissertation. I still take classes. I'm in five classes every semester. Like it's a full course load. But the main focus and sort of emphasis of my time while I'm there is the applied work. So working with clients, I do both therapy and assessment. So I'm like diagnosing and assessing for mental health disorders. I'm also providing therapy to people kind of all across the lifespan and age range, which is really, really cool. And then I also, as part of my program, because of my background in sports psychology, have opportunities to continue working with athletes. So I'm kind of staying engaged with like the sports psych world, which I personally really like. My experience at JMU has been overall quite positive. I think the hardest part for me is just being really far and kind of isolated away from home. I think Boston, it's about the same like driving distance. Like I think it's about 8.5 for my family to get to JMU, and it was about 8 to get to Boston. So it's very similar. It just feels more isolated because it's a smaller town. I'm 2 hours away from the closest major airport, whereas in Boston, I was like a 20-minute drive from Logan Airport. So definitely some big differences in terms of just like my ability to get home and things like that, which has definitely been challenging, especially with Danny now being out in Winnipeg. He was in the Toronto area when I was in Boston, so I saw him a lot more. But yeah, overall, I would say like class-wise, faculty-wise, it's been really positive. I've definitely been challenged in different ways than I was expecting in my doc program, just in terms of like the types of clients that I'm seeing and like the work that I'm doing. But I really wanted to deepen my clinical training. That was the goal, the ultimate driving force behind me doing a doctorate. And I've been able to do that so far in my time. So I'm really excited to kind of see what comes next. I'm like officially halfway through the class part of my doctorate, if that makes sense. It's a 4-year program, but only 3 years are like in person doing classes. During that 4th year, you go on internship. So I'll be away and somewhere else, hopefully back at home in Canada somewhere, Winnipeg, Toronto, TBD. But yeah, so I'm like halfway through the class part. So that's kind of exciting and just really cool to like see how much I've learned and how much knowledge I've been able to gather in such a short period of time. So yeah, doc programs are a lot. They're really hard. They take its toll on you physically, mentally, emotionally, everything. But you're challenging yourself every day, and I love being challenged. That's what keeps me sort of stimulated, is being challenged, and makes me excited. So it's been difficult, but really cool and fulfilling, I would say, overall.
I would love to see your Google Calendar. I bet it's just organized, run like the Navy. I bet you it's
It's
down to the
yes,
minute.
every class has a color. All my due dates are on there. I have another color for work stuff, another color for personal stuff. It is, yeah, I mean, to balance as much as I'm balancing between all of my classes, practicums, sports psych work, and the stuff I'm doing with the Blue Jays, on top of like maybe trying to have a life every now and then and
Just a
like
bit,
not completely
maybe.
run myself into the ground, right? You have to be really on top of things. And so I've become very good at time management, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the phrase I've always used, my family always uses, is that if you want something to get done, you ask a busy person to do it. People who, are organized and have their life together, they're pretty good at fitting
Literally.
things in. And so I very much appreciate you making time for something like this. And it's great to talk to you about all these different things. We've hinted at, we've flirted with this whole Blue Jays thing a couple times throughout some
We
of these
have.
answers. So just tell us a little bit about what you do right now at the Blue Jays. I didn't know that you were still working with them while you were in school and in Virginia. That's amazing. Can't believe you're managing that.
Yes.
Shouldn't be surprised at this point, but that's besides the point. Tell us a little bit about what it's like working with them, and then, share what you can about kind of that role and how you landed that role and what that's been like.
Yeah, of course. I know. I can't believe I like left that out of my intro at the beginning. It's like such a big part of my life now and something I love so much that like that's kind of crazy that I forgot
We
to
have
say
like a
that at the
bajillion things, so
I
I
know,
can't
right
blame
out of the
you.
gate. Whoops. Sorry, Blue Jays. Yeah, I've been with the Jays now for I think going on about 8 months. I got hired on in May. It was about a 3 and a bit month long interview process. So it took a really long time, which I feel like is pretty typical for jobs in professional sports. I don't know why, but that seems to be the norm. So it took a really long time, but I got hired on in May and I've been working for them ever since. My official title is mental performance scouting programs specialist. That's kind of a fancy way of saying that I'm like the mental performance specialist within the amateur scouting department. So I support kind of our drafting process, player evaluation process, which is really cool, especially because 2-3 years ago, I went through the draft on kind of the family side of things with Danny. And now I'm getting to experience kind of the business side of things working for the Jays, obviously different sports. So there's some inherent differences there, but still really cool to kind of see where knowledge from each side can help in each of the roles that I'm holding. Obviously, I can't say too much just about like the process and like the nitty gritty of what I do, because I want to maintain some degree of like privacy, confidentiality about our recruiting process. But I do get to meet with a lot of the players that we have an interest in drafting and kind of be a part of their journey, which is probably my favorite part of it. And then kind of supporting our team on the professional development side as well, which I really love. I have had nothing but a positive experience in the organization so far. I am one of a few women on our team. And so obviously it can be a little nerve-wracking at first, especially having this be sort of my first like big job in professional sports as a sports psych consultant. And so I was really nervous coming in. The imposter syndrome was definitely running high, but I work for such an incredible team. All of the people that I've had contact with, all the way, you know, from the area scouts that I work with on sort of a day-to-day basis up to the president of our organization, everyone has been so supportive, so welcoming, so encouraging. I think they honestly kind of love that I'm still in school, as much as it kind of takes away from my availability and like ability to travel at times and whatever. The fact that I'm still actively gaining knowledge and accruing knowledge, and I'm so in tune with kind of what's up and coming in the field, is really exciting, not only for me, but I think for them too. And they have just been so supportive of like my academic load. They've been so supportive of my relationship with Danny and understanding that, you know, when I'm home, I'm not always home. Sometimes I'm flying out to Winnipeg or doing whatever, and how that's kind of unpredictable in and of itself. So they go above and beyond to support me, to make me feel included. I can't say enough positive things about the organization. My experience with them has been so good so far, and I absolutely love my job. So it is crazy. Not many people doing a full-time doctorate in psychology are able to balance a job on top of that. They work really well with me to kind of work around my school schedule, which I'm very thankful for, but it is a lot. There have been days where I'm pulling like a 16 plus hour work day, come home from like a 12 hour day on campus, and have to take three player calls until 11 p.m. because it's West Coast kids. Like, things happen, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I am so thankful for the opportunities that I've had with them. So yeah, I love it.
That makes me so happy. I'm so happy for you. I love it when people find, you know, just a good fit. You know, it's
yes.
So amazing when you find, you know, people who love and respect you in the workplace and a job that you really actually enjoy the ins and outs, the nitty gritty of what you're doing.
Yes.
That's so amazing. So I'm so glad to hear that. And I feel like that kind of puts a nice kind of positive pin in the end of the part of the career conversation. But
yes.
This episode title is How to Manage Your Career and Your Partner. So there is
right.
A second kind of part of this that I want to unpack a little bit and dive into it. So like we've mentioned, like I said in the intro, and like Lauren has referred to Danny a couple times over the course of this video.
Yeah.
Lauren is in a relationship with a Winnipeg Jets, Manitoba Moose, prospect player, I don't know what the actual title is, forward, Danny
yep.
Shilkin. So he was drafted a couple of years ago and has been playing professional hockey in and around the Winnipeg area for the last couple of years. Before that, he's playing in the OHL. Tell us a little bit about Danny to start things off. I feel like we're going to, you know, give us some background on him and kind of
yeah.
how you guys met and what your relationship has been like, kind of just the overall kind of summary of the relationship you're in.
Yeah, relationship overview. Yes.
Sparked
so,
us.
Yes. Right. Cliff Notes version. Yes. Yeah, so, Danny is my partner. He's been my partner for several years now. I've kind of lost track. I think we're in and around the 5 mark, but there was a little bit of a break in the middle. Yeah, we met through my brother. So he actually used to play hockey with my brother. We were really, really good friends for several years, like 10 years or so, and then kind of gave dating a try when we were a lot younger. Didn't really work out for obvious reasons, and then got back together like 3-4 something years ago now, and have been together ever since. So he's obviously a very, very big part of my life and have been for quite some time now. He was, yeah, drafted to the Jets in 2022, third round, I think like 77th overall. It was the year that the draft was in Montreal. So that was a really cool experience. I got to go in person, which is always fun. And obviously getting drafted to a Canadian team was like really special with both of us being Canadian. So yeah, really exciting. He finished up his time in the OHL, played for Guelph and Kitchener. We had an awesome experience there. Both of those teams were just phenomenal teams to be a part of. They were also super supportive when we launched our nonprofit Jilkins Vision. Both of those teams really sort of adopted that and helped us to promote it and allowed us to run fundraisers through them and things like that. So we're really grateful for that and just everyone that we had kind of behind us during his junior career. And then last year was his rookie season in the OHL. I get confused, like real years versus like hockey years, but it was last year. And so yeah, he came out, started playing for the Moose, had a pretty solid rookie season, unfortunately ended his season in February with the season ending shoulder surgery that he opted to get at that point, just to not impair further development over the summer and things. So season got cut short a little bit, came back this year, was playing unbelievably well, had a really strong start to his year, and then unfortunately hurt his knee. Took him out for 5 or 6 weeks, something like that, but he's been back for a little bit now, back in the lineup. So it's been really exciting to just kind of watch him navigate this whole process. Obviously some ups and downs and things, which is challenging for any player and to be expected, but I'm obviously very proud of him and how hard he's worked and continues to work to kind of make those dreams come true. And we've had a good experience so far in the Jets org too. So yeah, that's kind of our background. We've been together for a while, but we are long distance and pretty much always have been. So it's a bit of a unique situation. I'll put it that way for now, and we'll delve into it in a minute.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's teeing us up for some of the conversation for sure. But before we start talking about, like, you know, that aspect of it, I find it really interesting. You guys obviously both have a very, very deep rooted passion for sports. And I find that, you know, shared experiences when you have a partner that is interested in the same things as you are, it's so exciting. It's so great to be able to share those things with you. Having someone who just capital G, capital I gets it is just amazing. Yes. To be able to collaborate with that person in that way, your trusted person. But also sometimes it bleeds a little bit into the territory of exhaustion, right? Yes. Where it's just, you know, it's hard to balance. It's when you're passionate about your work in general, you can really struggle with balancing that work and burning yourself out really easily. And the same thing kind of transcends into relationships, right? So can you just touch a little bit on some of the good and maybe even some of the bad of just both being so involved in the sports community in a relationship?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. There definitely is like a duality there. And I think both things can be true, right? Like there are so many benefits to having that shared passion and interest. Like I think to start off with the good stuff, like we definitely understand each other on a bit of a, I think like higher level maybe than people who aren't existing like mutually in those spaces at the same time. Like obviously me being now in the pro sports world, working in scouting, like I have a bit of an interesting view of more of the business side of how professional sports operate, which I think can sometimes help to take away like the taking things personally from him. Like, you know, when you don't get called up and other people do, or you get scratched and other people don't, like learning how to not take those things as personally, because at the end of the day, pro sports are kind of a business. And unfortunately, you are kind of treated as a number, and that can be hard to remember sometimes. So I think sometimes me being in more of like the business kind of front office side of things helps to bring a little bit of that perspective in that way. And obviously me being on the sports psych side also puts us in a unique position where I can like really help him work through certain things. Like obviously I've been able to like help him through some of the tougher things like his injuries, like managing the stress of a draft year, things like that, probably more than other people will, just because that's like what I study and learn and I'm like actively practicing every single day. And also doing that with him and seeing him go through it definitely helps me learn in a professional context. Like there have been situations where I've been working with a client who's going through an injury and have been able to use some of the things that him and I talked about and kind of worked through together to help that client. So there's a lot of like sharing of knowledge kind of across our world, which I think is really, really cool. But yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't hard at times. Like I think having some degree of separation between like your work life and your job and things that are happening kind of outside of the home versus your life at home should like exist. Like there should be some separation there just to keep you from like completely burning out and like bringing everything from work home from you with you at the end of the day. We obviously don't live together, so I'm saying home as like a more abstract thing, like not a physical apartment, but like our conversations at the end of a work day and things like that. And that can be hard sometimes, right? Like maybe there's a time when I'm sort of ready to like turn my work brain off for the day and just like exist and relax and watch a TV show or do whatever. And he's playing a game and then wants to kind of debrief and process that game with me after. And so I have to like turn it back on and get back into gear and things like that, which obviously I enjoy doing and want to be there for him for. But it does kind of pull me back into that when I've tried to shut it down for the morning or whatever it is. It's also, we currently work in sports that have kind of offsetting seasons, which is really convenient. Obviously, hockey kind of shuts down like May, June, depending on playoffs and things like that, and is pretty quiet until like late August, early September, when camps kind of get back up and running. Whereas that's peak season, not just for baseball, but specifically for baseball scouting, because the MLB draft is right around the same time as the NHL draft in July. And so that is like prime time for me. I'm flying to Florida. I'm going to the combine in Arizona. I'm doing all of these things. I'm in the office in Toronto multiple days, and that's like his off period. So we've had to kind of get creative in terms of like seeing each other and working through things like that. August is like our ideal time because I'm done the draft, so it's quiet for me. He's still off for hockey, so that's like prime time for us to like go on a vacation and like actually spend time together. But that can be challenging too. I think one thing that we have had to get really good at, and this is, I think, quite unique, not just because I work in sports and he's a pro athlete, but more specifically because I'm in a field that's like a helping profession within sports, like I'm sports psychology. We've had to get really good at communicating, like specifically his needs at the end of a day. So he comes off the ice after a game, and maybe it's not a game that he's feeling too great about. We've run into trouble before of like, I jump too quickly into trying to fix the problem and providing like sports psych interventions and let's troubleshoot this and try this. And what were you thinking here? When all he's looking for is me to tell him, like, it's going to be okay and I'm still proud of you and whatever. Right. And there have been other times where I fall too much on the, hey, it's okay. You're great. You're wonderful. Everything's fine. And not giving enough of the like, let's try to fix this support. And so we've had to both mutually get really good at communicating, like, here's what I need right now. Do you need support or do you need services? It's kind of the dichotomy that we've created. And that helps me to understand which hat to put on because I am in a unique position to be able to provide actual, like, tangible strategies and like services, and not just the emotional support, but sometimes the emotional support is what you need in order to not feel completely like invalidated and crap. So, we've had to get really good at that communication piece, which is definitely a unique aspect of us having this like overlap in our professional lives. But it is really fun. We get to go to games together. He comes to Jays games over the summer. I go watch him play whenever I'm in Winnipeg. You know, we can talk sports and like really understand each other, which is awesome. We have like kind of a shared language in that way. But yeah, you have to work through the troubles with that too. And the pro sports world is not for the weak on either side of it. So
For sure. I can only imagine coming home, yeah, after a long day where, you know, someone scored a goal off of your butt or something, and you're just like, ugh, like I'm tired of this. And you're like, well, actually, and it's like, no, not right
No,
now.
don't
Not right
even
now.
start.
This is not what I need. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's definitely a balance. But like you said, I think the positives of it is just that next cerebral level that you can get to and understanding one another is just so special and so important. So that's incredible. But I mean, there are so many different layers of this that, you know, we've talked about the career and this, that, but then the long distance piece adds yet another barrier towards, you know, well, barrier and opportunity in its own ways, right? Opportunity for communication, barrier for, well, everything else. But do you
Literally.
want to just talk a little bit about kind of what managing all of these things, you know, we've spoken about your course load, your job, Danny's job, the unconventional hours that you both follow and everything, and how that's factored into how you've been able to manage the long distance component of this relationship.
Yeah, I would be so lying to you if I said that long distance was like easy. I would also be lying to you if I said that it was fun and super enjoyable. It's hard. Like it's really hard. It takes its toll on each of us, I think, as individuals. It also definitely takes its toll on our relationship at times. And you know, I would love to be able to be with him all the time, to live together, to be able to come home to him at the end of every day. Like that would be so unbelievably helpful for, I think, both of us, just in terms of like managing stress and like having one of your most important, like supportive, kind of safe people with you all the time. But that's just not our reality right now. And I think that's one of the most important things that I've learned in terms of like helping us to manage the long distance too, is like really understanding the reasoning behind it and like understanding that it's the best thing for you at this moment. Obviously for us, like he has no control over where he is for hockey and won't for the foreseeable future. You could argue I have a little bit more control over where I go for school and work and things like that. But even so, like doc programs are competitive to get into. There's, not that many out there that were offering what I was looking for. I had a very sort of strict criteria when I was applying, because I have gone straight through all of my schooling and I was not about to sacrifice another 4 to 5 years of my life for a program that I was like, eh, about. So I was only applying to programs that I was really passionate about, really excited about. And so, that did narrow my options. And ultimately, it came down to where I got admitted that determined where I went. So I did, and I didn't really have control over being here. And I think for both of us, like, one of the things that I've said before is that, if I hadn't gone on to do a doctorate, and I had said, I'm just going to move to wherever you are and, accept whatever job comes with my master's and whatever that might look like, I don't know if I'd ever be fully satisfied. And I would not want that to be tied to him. I would not want to feel any kind of resentment. I wouldn't want him to feel any kind of guilt, like he swayed my decision. I wouldn't want to feel like either of us, and this goes both ways, ever had to sacrifice for the other person and give up something that we were so passionate about and, wanting to pursue just to be in the same place as the other person. I think we've shown each other and ourselves over the years that we've been together now that our relationship is more than strong enough to withstand distance, whatever that looks like. And so I don't think we were at that point yet. Now, there will probably come a time where there's going to need to be some sacrifices, like especially if we ever want to start a family or own a home or whatever it is. But for where we're at right now, I think we're both so young that we're able to sort of mentally accept like this is the best thing for both of us as individuals. And it's also going to set us up for success when we do kind of merge our lives more physically in the future, like from a financial standpoint and a career standpoint, and just like being happy and feeling fulfilled. So that's really important, like for me to remind myself of that. And like why we're putting ourselves through this grueling process. I will say, like, in terms of just like managing it and things, I think you always are going to hear communication is so important. Like if you look up like tips for a long distance relationship, that's going to
You
be the
should
first thing that
communicate.
pops up. Right, you should communicate. And it's like, yeah, duh. But most people think communication and they instantly think like resolving conflict. Like you need to be able to communicate problems and express concerns and like argue well. And I'm like, yes, that's true. That is a part of it, right? Like every couple will argue. You will have disagreements. If you don't, that probably means someone is not speaking their full truth, right? Like, so you should be occasionally having these little tussles or whatever you want to call them with your partner. And how you handle those is super important. Like, you need to respect each other and communicate effectively and whatever else. But it's also how you like communicate positively to each other. Like, you have to adapt being able to express like love and support and affection to text messages and FaceTime and things like that, where most people can express those things in person and face to face. You have to be able to celebrate these big, exciting moments with your partner that will inevitably happen when you're not there, over text and FaceTime when most people are there in person. Like, you also have to be able to communicate in a positive way. It's not all about how you handle the more negative, challenging things in your relationship. And we've really had to figure that out because there's been a lot of really awesome things that have happened in the last few years that we have not been with each other for. And that's really hard, right? Like, some of the hardest things about long distance is missing those big moments. It's missing his first pro game, which I did, right? I was not there when he made his debut with the Moose last year, and that sucked. I was watching it on my tiny little laptop in my bedroom, and I was so sad about it. I was also not there when he scored his first goal. Now, it was an away game, I think, so I probably wouldn't have been there anyway, but like, you know, would have been nice for him to come home on that road trip and be able to celebrate that with me, and we couldn't, right? He's also not there to support me during my like difficult times. Like I get really stressed sometimes with school, really stressed sometimes with work, and I just like want a hug from my person or want him to cook me dinner instead of me having to cook it for myself, and he can't, right? Same way that I wasn't there when he got hurt and able to like pick up the pieces when he was injured. So you do miss a lot, but being able to still find ways to celebrate those things with each other, to provide that support in other, maybe less conventional ways, is super, super important. And that's been a really big thing for us in our relationship. It's cool getting to travel to see your partner. You know, I have only been to Winnipeg a few times, but like every time we go, we make it special. Like we go out on a nice dinner date, or we try something new and go out to like a new experience. Like November, we went to Thermia, however you say it, for the first time, and that was awesome. I mean, oh my gosh, that was so nice. So like, you know, we try to make it fun, we make it special, and it means that that time that you do get together is so, so, so special and so high quality, because you're just wanting to soak up every minute. You never take each other's presence for granted, which I think is such a beautiful thing about a long distance relationship. Yeah, it definitely has its pros. Like it challenges you to grow as a person. It's allowed me to focus on myself and my own career and stuff to an extent that I'm not sure I would have been able to if I wasn't away. But it is hard. It's a person that you care deeply about, that you love, that you want to be around all the time, and you're just constantly counting down the days so you get to see them again. So communication for us has been key. Celebrating things together has been key. Always having a trip plan has been key. But yeah, it is a challenge. Long distance kind of sucks at times. But if you know your reason and you're both on the same page about that, it makes it a lot easier, I think.
Sounds like you have a really good grasp and understanding of focusing really hard on the silver linings, because there is so much of the negative aspect that you could focus on if you really wanted to, but that's not productive and it's not helpful. But then also acknowledging their existence, because it is important to know that they are there, and if you just pretend they don't exist, they're going to cause problems to boil over and all these sorts of things. So I really commend you. But I think, you know, the part that I really do want to focus on here as well is that you also have a really incredible and amazing career that you're building for yourself. And often I see it, I've gotten into arguments with people about this. For example, you know, when a player gets traded to Winnipeg, and they get traded from, you know, somewhere in Dallas or something like that, and it's like, oh, their wife has to move with them to Dallas. Like, well, he's making $7 million and she's not. And it's like, whoa, you know. And I feel like sometimes the professional athlete is absolved of their responsibility to be an equal counterpart in a relationship because of maybe it's the financial amount they're contributing to a household, maybe it's the prestige that comes with their job and the public facing aspect of being in, frankly, the entertainment industry, right? Because they are a product of entertainment and sports, right? How has Danny managed your career with you and been a support for you? Because it's not just about his pro hockey career. You're a doctor, for God's sake. You're gonna be a doctor. Like, let's not pretend that this is like an easy little, you know, brush off the shoulder here. So how has he been an amazing support for you in your pursuit of your educational endeavors?
I think it's, you know, I'll say kind of before I jump into him specifically, like what you said is so spot on, right? And I think it goes even outside of the pro sport world, and I think it gets amplified in pro sports for the reasons that you just mentioned, like the financial piece and just the publicity that comes with that lifestyle. But even just like in general, if we're talking about a heterosexual relationship, man, woman, male, female, whatever term you want to use, right? Like, I think there's always going to be pressure on the female to be the one to sacrifice their career, maybe because of financial components. Men make more than women. We all know this, right? But also just because, like, gender stereotypes, gender norms, like, oh, you're the one that should be taking care of the house and taking care of the kids. So if we have to pick up and move across the country and, you know, it's for his job, like, I guess yours is fine. Like, you'll figure something out, right? Like, that's kind of the messaging blanketed across society as a whole. And then that gets dialed to a whole new level when you factor in, like, okay, sure, most professional athletes do make quite a lot of money, enough to comfortably support a family without a second income, right? But not all of them. Like, let's be realistic here, right? Like, I said this on a podcast that I was on, like, over the summer. Like, we're not all dating Connor McDavid. We're not all married to Alexander Ovechkin, right? Like, AHL players make good money, but they're not making millions on millions of dollars a year. Like, it's helpful to have a secondary income, and like, we don't need to neglect the financial piece here, right? But I think we saw a lot of this. Everything that you just said really reminds me of the whole Trouba situation. Like, I think that's such a critical thing here that we've seen recently that for me was like a really important moment of reflection, because I was like, man, I am so thankful to have a partner that values me in my career the same way that he does. And, feelings about him as a player, person, whatever aside here, like, let's just talk bluntly about the situation. Like, he was getting so much hate, and so was his wife, quite frankly, for exercising a right that was negotiated into his contract because he valued his wife's career just as much as his own. And it's for them, it probably wasn't a financial thing. Like, he was making more than enough money to support them, right? But she's a med school resident and doesn't have the flexibility to up and move across the country, and they have a kid. And I have so much respect for a player that is publicly able to come out and say, like, this isn't me trying to be difficult. This isn't me not wanting to play. And so I have a family that matters to me just as much as my career matters to me, if not more. And I need to think about them and put them first sometimes too. And I haven't followed the story enough to know what they're doing now and how they're making it work. But like, I think I remember seeing all of that on social media and just all the backlash they were getting. And again, just thinking to myself, like, I see a lot of that same trait in Danny of how much he respects me and what I do. And it's pretty incredible, I think, for him also to see this big name player speak publicly about that. And yes, he received a lot of backlash for it, which I don't agree with. But there was also a lot of people that were like, no, I applaud that. I applaud that. And I respect the crap out of that because it's so hard to do and yet so important. So I think, on that note, in terms of Danny specifically, obviously he's been with me dating or just as a friend for pretty much my entire academic career. Like, he met me when I was in. I think I was in high school by that point. I may have even still been in elementary school. Like, he's been around for the whole trajectory, all of my career explorations and all of my degrees, and he's seen me go through it. And it's tough for him to understand sometimes because he never went to school. He took some college classes when he was in the OHL, but like, he gave up his commitment to go the junior hockey route in Canada before that rule changed like a month and a bit ago. So he's never experienced the college life. And so it was hard at first, I think, for him to understand, like, you go to class, but then it doesn't just end there. Like, in high school, you go to school for your day, and then you kind of like maybe have homework, but like probably not, right? Like, it's kind of whatever, especially at the school that him and his friends went to, because it was very like athlete focused and whatever. And so for him, when, especially in grad school, he's like, what do you mean you come home after being on campus in class for 6 hours and you have to read 100 pages from a textbook and write a paper that's due in a week and write an application for this? And you have a client again? Didn't you just see that client last week? He's like, it's been a learning curve for him as much as it has been for me. And I'm lucky that I have someone that is curious to learn about that. I think something as simple as asking questions like, hey, can you show me your calendar for the week? Like, I'm just curious to know what you have going on. And that way he also knows, like, if I'm MIA for a few hours and not responding to a text, or I'm not able to watch his game, like, there's a reason why, right? It's not just me ignoring him or not wanting to be a part of that experience. It's me being like drowning in work and crazy busy. And so, him just asking questions, showing an interest in my stuff, like, how was that player call? Or, how many interviews you have with Jay's kids this week? Or, what are you currently working on in that class? Or can I read that paper that you said you were really proud of? Like, little things like that mean so much and they add up so much. Because with him, it's really easy for me to show support. It's watching his games, being there to talk about them after, going to his games when I'm in person, asking how practice was. Like, it's very just like outwardly tangible and obvious what me supporting his career looks like. It's a little bit less obvious for him because school is such a like niche, weird thing that he's just never been exposed to. So yeah, I applaud him for how much of an interest he's shown, and he's really getting the hang of it. I mean, we're on degree number three now, so he's like a pro when it comes to
Not his first
understanding my
rodeo.
not his first rodeo. He was with me through my whole master's. So yeah, he definitely is a key source of support for me. He's also like my voice of reason. Like, I can get very Everything's crazy and everything is stressful and the world is gonna explode and what is going on? Like, I can get very anxious at times, and he's kind of like, you're fine. Like, you got 100 on your last exam. Why are we stressed about this one? And I'm like, valid point.
Thank
So
you.
it's important. Yeah, important to have that like grounding person who also has openly shown and expressed how much they value your career. I think that's the key to balancing both, is that you're showing an interest in each other's, you have equal respect and value for each other's careers. Because if one person's career is being valued over the others, I imagine that would be a source of conflict. And it's not something that I've personally ever really had to experience, because he doesn't see it that way and respects what I'm doing tremendously, and is proud of me for it, which is a good feeling as well.
That's good. Good for him. I'm glad to
I
hear that. I
know.
think I like that you use the word curious, because I think that's so important for, showing an interest in someone's hobbies, but not just because you see them doing it and then that moment you're like, oh, what are you up to? It's no, like proactively being like, oh, this is interesting to me and stuff, I think is super important. To kind of wrap things up for the episode here, I think I kind of want to just go into some of maybe the proactive thinking, a little bit more on the advice side. I've been asking all of my guests here on the show for a little chill chit chat at the end here, which just kind of, if anyone were to take, it doesn't have to be one, but key insights, pieces of advice, takeaways for how to balance your own career and your partner's when you exist in the space of particularly hockey, just because, that is what this show is kind of all about. What would be kind of your main
Absolutely.
takeaways to send everybody home with?
I think like one key thing, and I just said it, I'll just reiterate, like there should be an equal sense of value between both of your careers. Like, just because he's a hockey player and is kind of the one that's in the public eye and, is obviously on an NHL contract and gets paid quite well and all of these things, doesn't mean that what I'm doing as a student, as a professional, and what I'm going to be doing in the future is any less important, any is something that should be any less respected or valued than what he is doing. The public eye, a bigger paycheck, whatever it might be, does not decrease or increase the value of someone's opportunities and experiences. And that's been really, really critical for us, especially to get through kind of the long distance piece, because again, my career being seen as important and valued is the reasoning why we are doing long distance currently. It's me pursuing my career and setting myself up to get the opportunities that I want in the future. And so having us both value them as equal not only gives me a sense of respect and value in the relationship, but it also means that long distance has a purpose. And that makes the long distance piece so much easier for us to navigate, because we both understand why we're doing it. Again, I think communication is so critical, but not just when you're having a conflict. And make sure that you're celebrating both of your accomplishments. Again, I think it's really easy to say, like, you played a great game tonight and you scored a goal, and it's tangible, it's right in front of you, it's public, it's on social media, other people are celebrating with you. So it's really easy to get caught up in celebrating his stuff, but he's really good about making sure that we're celebrating mine too. And that's not always a big thing. It's not always a graduation or getting admitted to a program. It's getting through a semester or getting a really good grade on a test or a paper that I had been stressed about for weeks. And having you and your partner celebrate that together, again, long distance adds an extra factor, so you have to get a little creative at times, but being able to celebrate both of your accomplishments in the same way, again, not placing more value on one or the other, is so important. And I think the last thing for me that's been really important is just remembering your why, and what drives you. It's easy to sometimes get lost in the shuffle, especially when you're in a relationship with someone who is a little bit more of a public person, who, has a bit more of a platform and a name and is pursuing a career that is a little bit more publicized in nature. It can be easy to almost internalize other people's thoughts and to internalize that you are second and that your stuff is somehow less than them. And that's just simply not true. I always remind myself, why am I in school? Why am I so passionate about the field that I'm in? What is it about my job and my future career that excites me, that I love, that gets me out of bed on those hard days? And being secure in my own why and having a partner that acknowledges that that's important too, and is excited for me the same way that I'm excited for myself, is so incredibly important in finding that balance and allowing me to feel sort of assured and secure in the decisions that I'm making to pursue school, to pursue the career that I'm pursuing, even if that means sacrificing being together at times.
I think that's so important. It's so reflective, and I really appreciate all the insight you brought to this conversation. I think it's so important, and that security, I like that word as well that you use there, just to ensure that you're prioritizing both parties in the relationship and being secure in your own needs and not just, you know, deferring to what the other needs and exclusively what they need, because then, yeah, like you said, we mentioned these topics earlier, but the resentment, the guilt that starts to build up, and that's just not helpful for anyone. So I think this conversation has been really, really insightful in a lot of different ways. Thank you, Lauren, for joining me. This has been such a fun conversation. I feel like I learned so much, and it's really interesting to reflect on these sorts of things. So I really appreciate you joining us for episode 4 of Chill Chat Chat. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. We appreciate the support. Make sure you like, subscribe, rate, follow, all those fun things on social media, podcasts, and YouTube. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.